First John chapter number 1. I feel like the Lord would have us to deal with the fellowship subject that we've been on three messages now. This will be our fourth part on fellowshipping with God. I believe it's the ultimate need. I believe it's the greatest need in our lives individually as a Christian and in our church. I don't know of anything that will have an impact on your life more than spending some time with Jesus and having fellowship with God. Amen. And to fellowship with God, as illustrated in the Bible with Enoch, who walked with God 300 years, and then you have Noah, who walked with God. You have Abraham, who's called a friend of God. Those people were people that had fellowship with God on a practical level in their everyday life. They didn't quit living and go live in some hut somewhere on the backside of the moon. They walked with God in their daily life. They walked with God in their daily life. And that's something I think that if we're not careful, we'll put fellowship with God way out on a plane, on a level that would require you just about to quit living to go to do. But that's not the case. You can walk with God and have fellowship with God in your everyday life. And that's what God wants us to do. God is a practical God. God is a personal God and He's a practical God. But let's begin a reading of verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now it's amazing that he came right out of the verses 1, 2, and 3 talking about the fellowship that they were experiencing and enjoying with the Father and with His Son Jesus. And then as they communicated that to those that would read 1 John, and I believe we can put ourselves into that as well, these things about fellowship, write we unto you that your joy may be full. Verse number 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Father, I ask you to take the precious reading of the Word of God and use it tonight for your glory, and we'll give you the thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, four times in these verses, the word fellowship appears. Twice in verse 3, once in verse number 6, and then another time, fourth time in verse number 7. All four times, the word fellowship is referring to that vertical fellowship, that horizontal fellowship, or that vertical fellowship with God. It's not talking about the horizontal fellowship with mankind, with your brother and your sister, although that's implied, amen, in the Bible. But it's specifically addressing our fellowship with God. Anybody that was ever a somebody for Jesus was a person that majored on fellowshipping with God. And I want to ask you, all of us here today, how important is it for you to be in fellowship with God? Now, that's not just a thrown out question. I believe God put that in our heart to ask that earlier today. How valuable, how important is it for you personally to be in fellowship with God? Enjoy, experience fellowship with God. I mean, how valuable is it to you? I know for myself, when I get out of fellowship, and you can. You can't get out of a relationship, but you can get out of a fellowship. And I know for myself, misery comes in. And of course, the joy that's talked about in verse 4, that leads. Amen. In fact, the truth is this. You take fellowship out of your faith and you are miserable. Christianity will be boring and miserable. It'll be a burden. There'll be no... I don't have enough adjectives to describe how bad it is if you were to take fellowship. Fellowship is what puts the enjoyment in living for the Lord. Amen? There's just something about it. And I'm glad that God made it available for us. But the word fellowship has the meaning of association. Association, that's what it means. That's one of the words. Association. So when you're fellowshipping with God, as it's already been covered here, Brother Mike covered it, identify yourself. When you are associating with something or someone, you are in fellowship with that, and you are associating yourself with that. You are identifying yourself with that. Well, it's impossible to have fellowship with God without association. You are associating yourself with Him. Amen? Amen. And of course, another word of definition means participation. Not just association, but participation. When you're in fellowship with God means that you're participating with things common. That is, you can't have fellowship with God if you don't have things in common with God. You've got to have His nature. You've got to have His Spirit. You've got to have His Son. You've got to have His salvation. Amen. You've got to have His life if you're going to have fellowship with God. Amen. Sinners cannot have fellowship with God. They can only know God from an intellectual standpoint. They can only know God, amen, from the physical. They cannot know God from the experiential. They cannot experience God until they get saved. Amen. And then when you get saved, then you know God experientially. So the word not only means association, it means participation, but it also means partnership. When you are in fellowship with God, you are in partnership with Him. Now, when there's a partnership, that means there's two sides. Isn't that right? A partnership, and it suggests that there are two sides. It takes two. It takes two to have this fellowship that's talking about. And I mentioned it Sunday, whenever it was, I preached Sunday morning, that God gets something out of our fellowship that He don't get no other place. And we're going to get something out of that fellowship that we won't get no other way. So when we're not in fellowship with God, we're not only robbing God of things He deserves, but also you will be you'll be robbing yourself of things that will be so delightful to your life. Amen. Amen. I believe God wants you to grow as a Christian. There's verse on top of verse on top of verse that shows that God is not just wanting you to be saved, be born again, but that you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And I'm just going to be honest with you. You go to a lot of churches, my friend, and you do not see it. What went on here tonight, on a Wednesday night, I know preachers, as Brother Wetzel said, would give their right arm, amen, to have that to go on their Sunday morning service. They would love to have somebody to testify. The preacher would probably go in cardiac arrest if he had a young lady to stand up and express her burden for people and her desire and for somebody to pray for her, that she be a good example to other people, and then read a verse that they read this morning. Why, they'd have to give them CPR. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you, most churches are dying, and I'm dealing with the subject as the reason. They're in no fellowship with God. You can't have and enjoy the things of God if you don't enjoy the God of the things. Amen. You can't enjoy the house of God until you have a fellowship with the God of the house. Amen. Amen. Most people, church, all it is a building. Church is going and meeting in a congregation. But I'm going to tell you, we need to get intimate with the Lord of the house. Amen. Not just the house of the Lord, but the Lord of the house. Amen. Well, praise God. Amen. Well, fellowship. Amen. Can I say that there are several things in the Bible, I'm not going to go back and deal with them, but there are several things that we are told not to fellowship with. Amen. Now, a lot of people can't have fellowship with God because they're too busy having association and partnership and amen, and they're having participation with other things, my friend, that God cannot fellowship with. Are you listening? Let me just give you two or three of them. You remember in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 20, God talking to believers said that we're not to have fellowship with devils. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14 tells us that we don't have fellowship with unbelievers. Now there's a problem when a believer can fit in, look like, act like, talk like, match up with unbelievers. Amen. Listen, the Bible tells us not to have fellowship. You can't have, as a believer, fellowship with unbelievers. You can be a friend to unbelievers. Amen. I don't want to get on that, but I'll tell you, you can be a friend. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He went home and ate with sinners. He was a friend of sinners, but he never, never compromised any of his character, never compromised any of his convictions, never once did he dip his colors, my friend, in order to do so. I believe this is, the Lord showed me one time, I was praying about when do you draw the line? When do you draw the line between friendship and fellowship? I believe it's when you quit influencing them and they start influencing you, then it's time for you to draw the line. As long as you're influencing them, then praise God, be a friend of them. Try to win them to the Lord, amen. But when you see them pulling you down, and you're starting to get interested in their lifestyle, and you're starting to get curious, and amen, of what they're doing, and how they're living, and where they're going, and you're starting to, my friend, starting to plummet from your level down to their level, then it's time for you to take your spirituality into your own hands and be responsible. Responsible and draw the line. Because you're on the very brink of losing fellowship with God. Amen. Don't have fellowship with unbelievers. Ephesians 5 and verse 11, we're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Amen. And so on and so forth. A good illustration, and I'll give you this and go right on. Is probably the father of the prodigal son. In Luke 15, you have the prodigal son. I don't know how old he was. It doesn't say. But Brother Carroll, evidently, he was on up in years. Amen. He was on up in years. And you know the story, how that he desired to have his inheritance before his daddy died. I think that was an insult. I think that was an insult to his daddy, amen. Instead of waiting until his daddy died, then get it. He wanted it beforehand. And guess what happened? He made the choice, the prodigal made the choice to leave the father's fellowship. Are you listening? The relationship stayed intact. The relationship was still there. You can't stop what birth starts. Amen? And birth is the only way you can get that relationship. But he chose, he made a decision, for whatever reason, he wanted to leave the father's house, the father's fellowship, the father's company, and go to a far country and there have fellowship with unbelievers and with heathens and with unrighteousness. Not one time did the father ever speak to him. Not one time did the father ever leave where he lived and go to the far country after him. What I'm simply saying by that illustration there in Luke 15 is when you break fellowship with the Father, and by the way, it wasn't the Father walking off from the Son. It wasn't the Father, my friend, making the choice to break fellowship. It was the Son, my friend, breaking fellowship with the Father. And when he went to the far country, guess what? Stopped communication with the Father. The Father said nothing else to him. The Son said nothing to the Father either. But I'm going to tell you, there's a high price to losing fellowship with God. You say, preacher, what is it? Well, I mean, you can study that on out. Everybody's familiar with that illustration, that text. Amen. But one thing comes to mind, Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus made it very clear, divine communication with the Father, Him speaking to me, me hearing the words of His mouth is what's going to be my sustenance and be my life. He said, man shall not live without it. You can't live physically without bread. You can't live spiritually without divine communication from God. But when the prodigal went into the far country, the Father quit talking to him. Because the Father doesn't talk over a distance. Amen. You get distant from the Lord, guess what happens? God begins to be silent. He begins not to speak. And boy, the Lord, help, what a price to pay. What a price to pay. And then that prodigal wound up there in the far country and no doubt about it, he was influenced by friends. He didn't just take a wild gander at the far country wondering what it was like. He'd heard about it, I guarantee it. He had heard about it. There were probably some neighboring boys and girls down the road probably told him all about it, you know. And his curiosity drove him to wanting to go. Amen. He wanted to be accepted with the society more than he wanted fellowship with his father. That crowd, Brother Carroll, that crowd in the far country, they never took care of him once when he was sick. That crowd in the far country never one time, my friend, helped him when he was down or when he was hurt or when he needed something. But oh, that father there was faithful to take care of him, provide a roof over his head, amen, and put clothes on his back and shoes on his feet. That crowd out there, I want to tell you young people, that crowd out there, my friend, doesn't care a thing about you. And I'm just going to go a step further. They don't care a thing about your family and they don't care about God. Amen. All they want is what they can get out of you. They just want you to be a part of their team. Just like Proverbs 1 where it said, cast in your lot among us. Amen. Amen. They're not interested in you. When you can't help them no more, you'll be cast aside in the ditch of life and they'll go on and find a replacement for you. Amen. You better stay with those that love you and stay in the things of God. Stay in fellowship with the Father. Amen. Amen. But after he'd run his race and after he'd come to the end of his journey and he's broke and barefooted in a hog pen of sin. Guess where his thoughts was?
That's right.
Oh, I wish I was back at the Father's house. Hired servants got more than what I've got. Here I thought I was going to come down here and have the big hoorah time. And I thought I was going to come down here and live it up. And that's the message of the world. Come out here and live it up. Do what? Come on, follow us. Will you live it up? Well, show me one of them that's at the end of their life. Yeah. You might can see, Brother James, you might can look at that crowd and you might see a time or two where it looks like they're soaring high. They might be sailing high. But notice when they run out of gas and they crash. Yeah. Oh, don't be fooled. Young people, don't be fooled by that. I'm going to tell you, the highlight of life is to get saved by the grace of God and surrender your life to Jesus and walk in fellowship with God. Brother Craig requests prayer for the young people there a while ago that they'd get on fire. I want to see them get on fire more than just one service. Amen. I want to see them get on fire more than just an occasional service. I want to see my friend and hear of reports on Monday. And I want to hear reports on Tuesday. And a week turns into months. And then the months would turn into years. And it would be evident in their life, amen, that it's not just a passing thing. It's not just an emotion. But it's a devotion and a dedication that I've got with God, amen. Amen. If all your spirituality is, no matter how old you are, how young you are, all your spirituality is emotions, my friend, instead of devotion, my friend, it won't last long. It won't last long. And those unbelievers out there, my friend, they'll look at you and they'll say, yep, just like I thought, there's nothing to that. Yeah, they thought about me. Yeah, they thought about me when I first got saved, Brother Craig. They said it. They said, you'll be back. You're just on a little religious kick. You'll be back. Guess what? It's been 28 years. This January will be 29 years. Are you listening? Guess what? I have been back. But it was to preach to them in our class reunions. Amen. At their request. Hallelujah. It pays to serve the Lord. You may not get a paycheck on Friday, but it pays to serve the Lord. Amen. You cannot serve God and go in the hole. Amen. I'll tell you, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, I'm feeling better about it all the time. Amen. Woo! Glory. Amen. Lord's helping me tonight, I'm telling you. Well, we noticed Sunday morning about the facts of fellowship. That is, that it's possible. Fellowship with God is possible. I'm not preaching something far-fetched. I'm not preaching something, Miss Paula Sue, that's way out yonder somewhere, 400 miles out of reach, you know. I'm not. I'm talking about something possible. And then we notice also that fellowship is personal. And then fellowship is preeminent or primary. And I thought about this today. Anything or anyone that starts to pull you away from closeness with Christ, you need to deal with that. When I first got saved, I'm going to tell you, I was 20 years old. When I first got saved, I purposed, not 10 years after I got saved, I purposed then that was the life I was living, that I was going with God. I lost pretty much every one of my friends. I didn't have to cut them off either. I didn't have to call them and say, now, hey, fellas, I'm not showing up back at the S-curve no more. You're not going to see me no more at the parties no more. I didn't have to cut them off. Guess what, Brother Mike? They cut me off. Amen. That's right. Darkness don't want light around. I promise you that. Amen. And I purposed that night, I'm going with God. And I want to tell you, I had that commitment challenged. Brother Mike, I had that commitment challenged. I'm talking about just a few days after I got saved. I was engaged. And I knew that I was way ahead of her spiritually. She wasn't really wanting all that I was wanting, but she was kind of tagging along, And then after a while, she got tired of tagging alone. Amen. I went by off of work to get her because that revival went 7 weeks. And so I went by her house to get her to take her to the revival on the way home from work. And her mama said, she's not here. I said, well, where's she at? Said, she got in that gold Trans Am. And I said, uh-huh. I knew who that was. That was her old flame. Right then and there, I was at crossroads. You listen to me, young people. I'm talking about I hadn't been saved just a very short few days. Listen to me, young people. And I was challenged about my commitment early on. Are you really going to be serious about going with God? Because evidently, you going with God, you're fixing to lose someone close to you. And so there I was, faced early on in my... Well, I wasn't even a preacher yet. I was just saved, and I mean saved good. And there I was faced, Brother Craddock, with that decision. Am I going to go with God, or am I going to go after her? And I'm telling you, I was at a crossroads. You might think it was easy. It wasn't easy. Are you listening? I was engaged to her. My wife knows all this. But listen to me. But right there, I had to make a decision when I got in my truck and fired that thing up to go home and go to church or go after her. I sat there in that driveway with my truck running in the valley of decision. And I made the decision, not that night. I had made it in the altar when I got saved. I'm going with God. And I pulled out of her driveway and went to the house of God. No doubt, Brother Craig, if I would have turned the other direction, I would not be here tonight. And I've never been right here preaching this right here as far as the details, but let me tell you what I believe happened. I believe, Brother Mike, it wasn't just what went on right there at that moment, that crossroads of going to Brevard after her or going to Rosman to church. I believe that all of that come about because of what had been going on in my life, the nights at the house of God and the days prior to that. Amen? Listen, you can't gum around with church. You can't just fool around with church and sleep through the service and, my friend, and treat it lightly. And then when you get at a crossroads in life, then you expect to make the right decision. See, I didn't know. In fact, I never even thought about it till tonight. But I want to tell you, friend, all of that time from the day I got saved till that particular night that I met, that was faced with that great decision in my life, I'm talking about life. I'm talking about my life's course was at stake right there. There's no doubt it was at stake right there. What enabled me, listen, I didn't make that choice based on the flesh, Miss Susan. I didn't make that choice right there based on the flesh because the flesh was in love. I based that decision right there, Brother James, on what I knew was best and that God was best. And that I'm going with God, with her or without her, I'm going with Jesus. Say amen. Hallelujah. All of them days in the house of God that I listened to preaching, amen, and got in the altar and did business with God and gave up things and quit things and stopped things and just trying to make efforts to get close to God. Guess what? When it come time for the decision to be made of my charted course, guess what? There was enough spirituality in there to overcome the impulse and the emotions of the flesh. Amen. And amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I didn't pull out of the driveway shouting and saying, glory to God, hallelujah, let her go, so what? No, I was down. I was discouraged. Amen. I was hurt. I was defeated. I went to the house of God. I was dragging my tracks out, but I went on anyhow. Thank God I did. If I'd have laid out of that service, I probably would have missed the rest of them. But I went on the house of God. Sometimes, hey, are y'all listening? Hey, sometimes you have to make yourself do right. Sometimes you don't make a decision, my friend, based off what feels good or how you feel or what it looks like. You better go off of what you know that book says, and you better go off of what you know is going to be right and what you'll be glad you did, my friend, 5 years from now.
Amen.
Amen. That's right, isn't it? Praise God. I went to the house of God that night, and I sat over there, and I'm not embarrassed to tell you that God filled me with the Holy Ghost the night I got saved. Now I leak. I have to be filled every day. But I was introduced my first time, Miss Mary, to being filled with the Spirit of God the night I got saved. Ain't no doubt that, my friend, is what influenced that decision that night. Had no idea that decision was coming. All I was doing was enjoying the good things of God and the highs that was coming from the Spirit of God that excelled any high that I ever had in the fleshly realm. And thank God I was enjoying it, and the devil thought, oh boy, I'll just come in here and I'll just rip away this young lady out of your life, and you'll cave in. You'll melt like a stick of hot butter on the eye of the stove, and you'll quit God and church, and you'll run after her. That's what he thought, Brother James. Hey man, are you listening? That's what he thought. But guess what? I'd done been introduced to the spiritual realm of what it was to be saved, not just being saved, but surrendered to God. Amen. 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 Amen, young people. I'm 40 miles away from where I thought I was going tonight, but that's all right. I'm just telling you, young people, what's going on right now. Listen, I'm going to tell you what's going on right now in church, each service, Sunday school, church services, you know what's going on? God's preparing you to face the decisions of life. And my friend, if you don't get some spiritual background behind you and get some spiritual stability behind you and get a little bit of a spiritual track record behind you, when you come to some of them real serious crossroads, you'll cave in. You'll give in to the peer pressure. You'll give in, my friend, to what others think, and you will make a major mistake, and you'll regret it the longest and last day that you live. Go to the house of God and play around, gom around, and treat it lightly. What are you going to do when you're faced at the crossroads of a decision? I'm not talking about a decision to buy a car or not. I'm talking about something that's probably either going to make you or break you. What are you going to do then? Amen. And those decisions are coming. Life may not be filled with a bunch of them. You may not have a bunch of them, but I want to tell you, I promise you, every child of God will have at least one major decision in your life. And amen. And it's going to be crucial. Whatever you do with that decision is going to chart possibly the rest of your life. And you making that decision is not just going to come out of a hat, my friend. It's going to come out of habits. It's going to come out of a series of life making good choices already behind you. Amen. And when you come to that decision, you'll be ready. Amen. Now the Lord knows, I don't know, but the Lord knows why that I'm where I'm at tonight. I was just giving you what I preached Sunday morning, or was attempting to, and I still don't know how I got off on that. I've been thinking here the last few minutes while I've been preaching, how did I get here? But I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm not interested in trying to just cover so much territory. I thought I'd get to point number two, the foundation of fellowship, and deal with that a little bit, but I never even got to it. But I believe God spoke. I believe God spoke. I believe God said something. I want to have discernment where I can preach and know that that I have discernment and saying what God wants saying. Amen. Amen. Brother, church is a place where you're getting prepared. You come in here, you're getting prepared for life. Amen. You're getting prepared for life in here. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I hope God spoke to you. I know one thing. God, I feel like God spoke to us. I felt like I had some clarity of leadership. I felt like God was leading me on what to say and what to do and what to deal with tonight. And I hope God spoke to you tonight. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight to the throne of grace. Dear Lord, I tried my best to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I had no plans, no intentions whatsoever of getting where I was in the message tonight. But dear Lord, I want to be led of the Spirit of God, and I felt like I was tonight. And I want to thank you, dear God, for speaking to me. And I hope and pray that you spoke through me. And dear Lord, I trust that people heard you, and God will be willing to respond, be willing to receive it. Lord, I pray that young people in here, dear God, Lord, they'll realize, God, that they can't just float around and fool around with being a Christian part-time and treating it just like something light and nonchalant and unimportant. Lord, they're going to be faced with a crucial decision in their life somewhere along the way. They may not, Lord, like I didn't see that coming. I knew there was some problem, but I didn't know that particular night, that particular evening, I was going to be faced with that decision. Lord, the young people today, older people today, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what decisions we're going to be confronted with, what challenges, dear God, what temptations, what tests we're going to be faced with, dear Lord. But I pray you'll help us, dear God, to walk with you and fellowship with you. And Lord, that will fortify us and strengthen us and get us ready for the choices and decisions of life. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, please, please help us, God. Lord, to know that, Lord, you sent the message tonight to our heart. And I'm glad you did. Thank you, Jesus. Seal it to our hearts, O God. Seal it to our hearts. Lord, may we know and sense in our heart, Lord, tonight that you have spoken. Lord, and we have heard you, dear God. May we respond to it, Lord. Have your way, Father. Oh, God, what these young people will be 10 years from tonight is already in motion. God, where they're going to be, what they're going to be, dear Lord, is already in motion, God. Lord, they're in that preparatory state, Lord. They're in that time where they're being prepared. And Lord, if they don't do right and treat it right and grow as you want them to grow, then Lord, when they're faced with those decisions and choices, Lord, then they'll cave in and they'll make decisions that, God, that'll be 100 miles from your will. God, please, our Father, use the message. Have your way. Prepare us, Lord, for the weekend. Lord, prepare, Lord, those that are in the Christmas play, Lord, to do their very best. Lord, to know that this is an opportunity to serve Jesus and to be a part of presenting Jesus, dear God, in a play form. Have your way, dear God, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.